The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Well, my co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay! Hooray! Huzzah, huzzah.
How are you, Dave Draper?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm all right.
All right.
I'm just fine, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
It's another day, another dollar.
Yeah.
Another day in the toy world.
Okay, wow. I try to sound a little less enthusiastic there.
Well, before you got here,
I was going to scare the children.
Before you got here, I was... Well, while you were here, actually, I was putting together a connection.
Yeah, what do you mean before?
Yeah, so while we were sitting here talking...
I got the benefit of that spellbinding 10 minutes of my life watching you...
Watching me build a...
Build a Kinect thing.
Kinect thing, which... I have more Kinects here I got to build, too, while we're talking.
Oh, okay. Really?
Well, I want to film it all tonight.
Really?
I want to film it all.
Wow.
What?
That's like
these people still get my attention. They still, it's not like there's a lot of toy news to talk about this week either.
What?
Stupid toy fair. Ruining all our toy talk.
I'm sure there's something.
Well, there's one.
We could talk about Arkham Knight, which had an awesome friggin' trailer.
Well, you were excited by Arkham Knight because you played them all.
I haven't played them all.
I still haven't beat Arkham City.
Yeah, someone else said that too. It's like, come on, get off your butts.
Well, I haven't had time.
But yeah, I mean, the trailer looks beautiful. It looks amazing. My only question is, gamers, of course, probably remember the name Dead Island, which had that fantastic trailer that no way, shape, or form reflected gameplay.
Not at all. Yeah.
So that's my one concern. But they are saying that you can actually drive the Batmobile this time around,
and that's a plus.
Which is my but that was my big thing. Like part of the reason that I really did not like Arkham Origins is just because you wanted it to expand, you wanted it to be bigger, and it was actually kind of the same city design,
right?
Which made sense because it was Arkham City was Gotham City, but
right.
But I mean, it was literally the same section that you were running around in
Arkham.
You know, and of course, still no Batmobile. So
right.
I'm really excited about the idea. I mean, my dream game would be you take like Grand Theft Auto, you know, a city and maybe some wilderness environments, but this huge environment that you can run around in. But you have
very open
the core Arkham fighting style and storyline.
Right.
But in a big, huge city that you can run around in and do stuff and explore and, you know, that's my dream game.
No, and that's what I think everyone at first. When they announced
Origins.
When they announced Arkham Asylum, or not even Arkham Asylum, Arkham City. That's what it was going to be, and it turned out it was, you know, it was more of the same, which was fine at the time because it's like,
it was expanded, but yeah, I mean, it still had that kind of limited. I mean, it was a much bigger closed-in environment, but it still was a very encapsulated world.
Yes, and then they brought upon us Arkham Origins. It was kind of
which was from Warner Brothers Montreal or something. It was
Some weird...
It was not Rocksteady. Rocksteady's back.
It was Canada.
Yeah, Rocksteady's back, and I've heard Conroy's back. Don't hold me to that if I'm wrong, but I've heard that. And, you know, the storyline seems to be taking off from the little teaser that they had about the Scarecrow.
Right.
In Arkham City, so that the Scarecrow is, like, bringing all the villains together to, like, wage war.
Which is kind of cool, which is a cool idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the Joker's not going to be in it, from what I hear.
Well, that's probably good.
Well, because he died.
Well, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No spoilers. Yeah.
I think some people are already starting to speculate that he'll show up at the very end, you know.
It's kind of a...
Well, like Lazarus Pit shenanigans, imagine. But
yeah.
So that's news. I'm excited about it. I'm genuinely kind of like... I mean, my only thing is like, ooh, that means I'm probably going to have to actually
buy a
PS4.
Yeah. Which was always my fear for you was that they were going to do that, or like we talked about, because you were so obsessed with this last Grand Theft.
I figured I mean, there was like 5 or 6 years between the last Grand Theft.
Right.
So I figured I had a little time on my hands.
Well, I figured it was...
I didn't really think they'd crank out a new Arkham like within a year.
Like within a year, yeah. I mean, I figured as soon as they announced that, because I knew that was probably what they were going to do, was... that they were going to announce another Arkham game, and then it was going to be on the new consoles, and that's it. And I was just thinking in the back of my head, I was like, oh, that's not going to be good for Dave.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, I got into the PS3 late. Well, and, yeah. I mean, I've had it for like 2-3 years now. So,
well, but even though you got into it late, I mean, it doesn't mean anything. It's still...
No. I'm not saying I'm like, yay, I get to spend hundreds of dollars on a new doohickey.
Yeah,
on a new doohickey. But I mean, you know...
New doohickey.
But at the same time, you know, I feel like I've gotten my use out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I played the Arkham games. I played Little Assassin's Creed. And I still kind of... I picked up the fourth one. I've kind of been enjoying that.
Yeah.
So I might finish that off. You know, I mean, I played the snot out of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
I mean, what I really should do is just go back and finish 4. I just started 4.
Oh, then, really?
And then I picked up 5.
You picked up 5 and got into that.
And I never did, like, get back into Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, really?
No. But, you know, now that I have more of it. Because that was one of the first games I got.
Right.
Because that was one of the games that got me to get a PlayStation.
PlayStation 3, yeah.
Because, like, I heard all these amazing things about it. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then I got it. I'm like... I have no gaming skills whatsoever. I am at sea, but you know,
well,
having spent all this time, because it's the same. I mean, I vaguely, I don't remember the mechanisms that much, but it's the same people who did Grand Theft.
Yes.
So I'm kind of assuming the mechanisms are basically the same.
And your
the gaming... internal mechanisms are the same. Like, you know, you go to bed, you save the game, and then time advances.
Yeah. Your gaming skills were very evident when I first got.
Well, I remember that freaking G.I. Joe game.
Yes.
Where I managed to get the Snowcat wedged in between like a wall and something else.
Because we were hanging out here and you were watching me play the G.I. Joe, the Rise of... Was it the Rise of Cobra?
It was the Rise of Cobra game. Yeah. But it had a lot of other elements to it.
Yeah, it had a lot of like 80s, like vintage...
Yeah, it had... Well, it was about the Mass Device. And then it had a lot of stuff from Sunbow.
Yes.
Which was a Mass Device. But it had some stuff from the comics too.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was just cool.
So... Dave would sit here and would watch me play that, and then he'd go, well, I kind of want to play that. Can I try? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Thinking, oh, well, Dave, you know, Dave's picked up a controller before. He's got this under control. No.
Literally the last controller that I had was the old Atari 2600
joystick.
Like a stick and a button.
So, yeah, watching Dave.
I'm sure. Oh, I said we should have done a whole... Whole series about just filming me playing.
Just filming you playing that,
because that would have, you know,
it was
cursing and screaming and having meltdowns, and
it was pretty entertaining.
Because I remember the freaking Snowcat, like the directions moved the exact reverse of what the individual the human characters move.
Yes,
and I kept screwing that. That's what kept getting me screwed up.
Yeah, you kept trying to reverse, and it kept going into the snowbanks, and then you get stuck, and you'd be like. I don't understand. What did I do? Duvall, what did I do? And I'm like, hold on, let me see it. Let me see if I can fix it and see if I can get you out of this rut here.
But now I'm slightly better. Hooray!
Well, and what was always funny to me was that you also found out you got motion sickness really easily when playing.
Yeah, but that kind of, you know, the weird that came and went. I think it was just, you know, it may have been just the I wasn't used to the. When I started playing Arkham Asylum, I got real bad motion sickness.
Right.
And then I found out, like, if you chew gum, that helps with it.
Yeah.
And then just, I got over it. So I'm thinking that there was just, you know, there's something that my body had to adapt to, you know?
Yeah.
Like getting your sea legs. I mean, literally kind of like getting your sea legs.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, considering that's pretty much what exactly you did, was you got your sea legs. Yeah. Like, hardcore got your sea legs. Like, you were like, bruh. Which is cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's one of those, I don't know, man, I just, I saw that trailer showed up today, and I was like, should I watch it? I don't know. I'm like, I don't really feel like it.
Yeah, I was kind of like, well, a friend of mine texted me. I read that, it's funny, because I read yesterday, they were like, oh, there might be a new Arkham game. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then today, the trailer shows up.
And you're like, oh.
Well, at first I was like, yeah, I'll look at it, and then, you know. Like, wow, this is really amazing.
Yeah, and then it shows up and you're like, ooh, this is pretty damn cool.
And it's the guys that made the first two games and Batmobile.
Batmobile.
As I said on Facebook, to paraphrase the Lego movie, Batmobile, Batmobile, Batmobile!
Oh, God. I don't know, man. I just, I like I said, I still haven't beat City. You know, the last thing that I actually played and beat was... Uncharted 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were playing that pretty hard.
Yeah, I played it and beat it. But, I mean, that had been the first time I'd picked up the PS3 in, I don't know how long. Year and a half. Just because I just never had the time to do it.
Yeah.
And never had the time to play it. So it was like, well, it's like, all right, it was Christmas time. I was like, this game's, it's cheap. Like, let's get it. I haven't played it yet. And then just got into it, real hardcore got into it, and was like, oh, I forgot how fun this was. And played it until I beat it. And now it's just like, now I'm playing a game that I bought and then never played, which was Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
And I love the crap out of some Lego games. I was like, man, I can't believe I never played this. I'm like, I suck.
Yeah, I play, my problem is I really enjoy the Lego games, but they're all kind of samey.
Oh, they are, yeah.
So, I played, the first Lego Batman, and I loved it. It was great. Yeah. It was great fun, but I think part of the problem was that was a later one. So yes. Going back to some of the early ones, they were a little more primitive.
Yes.
And it's very samey.
Yeah, it is.
It was a bad 1-2 punch.
They're all kind of, they're all the same game, basically.
Kind of, yeah.
When it really boils down to it, it is literally the same game, just with different
run around, smash stuff, solve puzzles.
Which I'm okay with. I mean, that's just mindless fun for me because I'm just like,
it's fun, but I think doing them and then a lot of it's mostly the it's a parody of the story, and that's where the real fun comes from.
Yeah, like Pirates is the Pirates game is hysterical. Like it cracks me up because it's like, oh, this is actually really funny because they just do little things that you're like, well, how are they going to recreate that in a Lego game? And then they do it, and you're like, oh, well, that was pretty ingenious and pretty darn funny. So, yeah, now I'm playing the crap out of that. Yeah. You know what's coming this weekend, and probably we'll spend a good majority of the show talking about this, but Toyman's this weekend.
Yeah.
Toyman Toy Show for merch.
For
merch. We had talked about, Pixel Dan had wanted to, we've been working on a project that he wanted to work on us with, and he wanted to take it to up near Chicago. There was a toy show last Sunday.
Ah, okay. Well, that answers that question.
Yeah. Dan's got a lot going on. He just got back from Toy Fair and with the baby and all that.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, yeah, the baby probably is a big part of that.
Yeah. So, he didn't really, couldn't really figure it out, couldn't really work it out, which is fine. I'm like, okay, that's cool. No big deal.
Yeah, no.
I'm fine with that. I'm not going to be like, no, you said we were going and now we're not. Now I'm angry at you. No, I was fine with that. I was like, cool, whatever. If we go, we go. We don't. I'm like, Toy Man's next weekend, so I care less. I'm like, oh, we'll probably go to Toy Man because that's usually what we do.
Yeah.
The
real issue was more, I think for you and I, we had to pick one.
Right.
We weren't going to be able to do two shows in a month, particularly with April coming up.
Yes, with King County creeping upon us, yeah.
So I was kind of like, yeah, I haven't heard much about this other show. Let's just do Toy Man. And apparently the reason I hadn't heard about it is because it happened.
Yes.
It came and went.
It did come and go.
So, meh.
So, yeah, I mean, Toy Man's a Sunday, which is very exciting for me. I mean, I always love Toy Man. We try to go pretty much every show. We hang out with our dealer friends that we know there. We know a lot of guys like Dan and Spike and those guys. We spend time talking to them and... Mike Irizarry shows up sometimes to
hang out.
Yeah,
I think he's planning on being there, but not 100%.
I was like, he usually shows up to hang out with us, or especially if we've got a table, it's always fun to have Mike there.
Got on TV once.
yes, you did. My crotch got on TV once.
Yeah, it could be any Bruno's crotch.
Oh, God, here we go. So, I was kind of going through my head, and I'm like trying to figure out, I was like, is there anything that I'm really actively looking for this Toy Man?
Is there ever? I mean, I can't remember if that was a question on the show or maybe it's a question on because I was on What's on Joe Mind this week, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah,
I remember that question came up somewhere, and I was like, Jason usually doesn't have an agenda.
No,
when he goes to a show, he kind of just shows up and picks up catches his
fancy. Catches my eye, yeah.
Yeah. These days I don't normally have much of an agenda either, partly because I've gotten the stuff that I want and partly because every time I go with an agenda, I never find it.
Right. You always come up with
the that was a question on the show because I remember talking about the Watchmen figures.
That
had been like an actual agenda. Like the last time I went, there were certain things that I was after.
Right.
Because I'd seen them at like the last three shows, and I figured this would be the time that I picked them up. So it was a question on our show. But yeah, usually you don't have an agenda. Are you saying you have one this time?
No, I don't really.
I would be curious.
No, I don't think I have an agenda this time either. I think it's just one of those things where it's, you know, there's a couple things that I know that I'm looking for that I'm kind of keeping my eye out for. You know, my I had an accident downstairs this last week, and Psychro from Earthworm Jim decided the Earthworm Jim figures. For those of you that don't know, those figures are extremely fragile.
Well, I remember last week, Jim fell and broke.
Earthworm Jim fell and broke, but I can fix him, and that was not a problem. But Psychro took a tumble, and his right arm fell off.
Wow.
At the elbow, and there's no way to fix that. Like, I could probably try to pry out the piece that's in there to try to fix it, but it'd just be easier for me to find a loose, incomplete Psychro for cheap and just switch everything out. Because I've got all the accessories for it. I just need, you know.
You just need the body.
Right.
Just need the body.
So, I mean, there's that going on that I'm kind of like, well, I'll keep an eye out, and if I see it, you know, I'll pick it up. But if not, yada yada, you know, I really don't have. Oh my, dogs are going crazy against the cat. I really don't have anything like major that I'm really looking out for, you know. There's a couple of lines of stuff that, you know, I if I find it and it's cheap, like I still need a couple figures to finish off Swamp Thing. And I know that right before Christmas, there was a dealer there that had it.
The guy I got the one figure from?
Yes.
Yeah.
That had both the other figures that I need, and I didn't pick them up then. And he wasn't there this last show, so I was like, gosh dang it. I was like, that was my goal last show.
Darn it.
Well, yeah, it was to get those last two figures I need, which are Bayou Jack and Climbing Swamp Thing? Yes, Climbing Swamp Thing. Are the two figures I need to finish off Swamp Thing. And it's like, well, I'm like, that's kind of in the back of my head, but it's also in the back of my head for Kane County. When it comes up next month, you know, I've got some things in mind for that I'm like, well, you know, I know I want to keep an eye out for these certain things at Kane County and this, that, and the other. I don't know. It's always a crapshoot with Toy Man because you go and you're never quite entirely sure what is, you know, what you're going to come across there because... You know, the dealers seem to cycle through their stuff so quickly at that show.
It depends. You know, there's like I said, there's been sort of a sameness the last couple of shows. It seems like everybody brought out the good stuff for the
toy hunter. Right.
But then the regulars, the real dealers, kept bringing it back.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Although, you know, guys like Dan and those guys, Dan always has different stuff.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he's just got so much stuff, and a number of the other dealers do too, but, you know, it's one of those things where we always end up finding a lot of interesting things.
Oh, I'm sure we'll find a way to spend money there.
Oh, no.
I'm reasonably comfortably sure that I'll buy something stupid.
As I say, I'm not denying that, and we'll end up coming home with something. I mean, we always do. That's never a show where we go to that's a bust in any way, shape, or form for us at all. At least it's never been to my, you know... You and I always come home with a ridiculous amount of stuff from that show for cheap. It's one of those things where it's like I'm waiting for it. It's coming, and it's like, yeah, but you know, King County's next month, and you know,
it's like but I don't really have an agenda for King County either. I mean, it's just kind of the same attitude I have for Toy Man. It's just obviously because it's so mythical and it's got so much more stuff. You know, the potential. Cool stuff seems a little bigger.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there are other things about going to Toy Man other than just, you know, I mean, like seeing Mike and hanging out with him.
Yeah, exactly.
One of our friends, listeners, Dave, is going to bring that part for the Fortress of Fangs that I need.
Yes.
The little gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get back to him because he keeps asking me if we're going. And I was like, oh, I got to talk to Jason.
Yes, we are going.
Okay.
One way or another, we're going.
So, I mean, there are kind of other benefits to going to Toy Man beyond just the toy show. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, we've...
It's a different experience, but I like it in its own right.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Kane is... It's about the toys. It's game time.
Oh, God, yes.
You know?
No, very, very much so.
It's like Toy Man's a really nice pickup game with your buddies.
Yes.
And you know, King County's the NBA.
Yeah. It's like, that's where you bring your A game, and you go to town. I mean... you're fighting guys like Dave Perdue, for God's sake. So
yeah.
You kind of have to bring your A
game. Toy Ninja.
Toy Ninja's darn straight. He's been texting me the last couple weeks like, oh, I'm so pumped for Kane County. You can't get here. And I'm like, shut up. Like, dang it, Dave. I'm like, you're just going to steal all the cool toys anyway. Gets to him before we can get to him.
I think he's got most of them already.
Yeah, but he'd
be happy.
He keeps getting into new stuff, and he keeps going, I need to pick these up. I need to pick these up. So, he was telling me he's trying to complete Cops, I guess, you know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he got pretty heavy into Cops, Uh-oh. I guess, and he's trying to complete that, so it's like, no!
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
I need to complete Cops, too! No! Why must you do this to me, Purdue? Why? So, I'm sure we'll be, I'll be fighting him for cop stuff. That darn Dave Perdue.
He's a troublemaker.
Yeah, it's all right. But I am. I'm very much looking forward to Toy Man this weekend. You know, I think even Carrie might go with us this time.
Cool.
Yeah. She's been kind of talking. You know, she wanted to go to Kane County, but of course we're staying the night. And one of us has to, you know, somebody has to be here with the animals. That's just all there is to it. Especially now the oldest one had diabetes.
Yeah.
Now the oldest one's got the sugar. Somebody's got to be here, like, nonstop. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, Toy Man's, like, coming up here pretty quick, too. I'm like, go to that with us. And she's like, oh, yeah, I could probably do that. Because we're never gone all day with Toy Man. We go and come home.
Yeah.
Pretty much, literally. We're like, oh, we're there, we're gone.
It depends. I mean, you know, sometimes we'll go and we'll hang out.
Sometimes, yeah.
But even then, we still get home, you know.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I mean, it's not like... From before the sun rises to after the sun sets kind of deal.
No.
Like it used to be for Kane and, you know.
Oh, God, yes. Where it's like, well, you know, we have to get up at the butt crack of dawn, Dave, to be in Chicago in time so we can get cool stuff. Yeah, it's not like that anymore, thank gosh. I think that's my favorite thing now about Kane County is that we actually go and we...
No, your favorite thing apparently now is to go to that stupid pizza place and, like, find people to talk to, not eat pizza.
Oh, I ate pizza that. I ate pizza last time. Pizza was good. It was good pizza. It was nummy. But, I don't know, but with C2E2 right around the corner, too.
Well, they're the same.
They're the same weekend.
Freaking weekend.
Yeah, again. I know. Yeah. That really throws a curveball for you, because it's like, ah!
Yeah, well... My whole situation is still kind of in flux.
Really?
Kind of, sort of. I'm still not entirely sure. I may just end up going up with you on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Gotcha. That would probably... I mean, you already bought tickets, though, didn't you?
Well, I'm still going to go to C2E2.
Well, yeah. I know that.
But it may just be for the Saturday.
Really?
I don't know. Things are complicated.
I gotcha.
I'm not entirely sure
gotcha.
I'm going to have a place to crash.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. I understand. Well, you know, you're more than welcome. I mean, you're gonna come there anyway.
Mm. Well, I'm leaving. The plan is to leave C2E2 with you.
Yes.
So
to leave with us and go to the hotel and then go to Kane County and then come home.
Yes.
So yeah,
that is the plan.
That is the plan, my friend. It's an exciting time for us for toys right now. I mean, you know, especially with the big show coming up, it's like, oh
yeah.
Like, that's the one we look forward to all year long.
Well, I'm actually, like, super looking forward to it because this will be my first spring show.
Yes,
because
Dave has never been to a spring show.
Something's always happened. Something's always managed to come up.
Yes. Dave always has, always has something come up where he's just like, man.
Well, the first time I hurt my, I was hurt and I didn't know it was Kane County.
Right.
Like, I knew what Kane County was, but I didn't know that the show that everybody was going to was Kane County.
Kane County, right.
I don't remember what the second one was. I don't remember what the third one was.
Because I remember the first Kane County was right after San Diego Comic Con one year.
No. It was the first one was after C2E2.
Oh, okay. It was. Okay.
It was after C2E2. That was the whole thing because Purdue told Killen about this great toy show in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so Killen was talking about this toy show in Chicago, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I hurt my foot.
Yes.
And then they come back, and all of a sudden it's Kane County. I'm like, oh, why didn't you say it was Kane County? Yeah. I would have brought a cane.
Yeah,
I would have gone. No pun intended, yeah. But I mean, you know, I would have limped around. Yeah. I wanted to see that.
And then after that, that became our trek every year.
In the fall. I've been to everyone in the fall since then. But,
never to the spring.
Well, the second year, there were complications.
Yes.
And the third year, you went with Danny.
Yes.
And then last year it was the same weekend as C2E2, and I stayed behind at C2E2 because it was the boys' first convention.
Yep.
And so I made that call.
Yeah.
Because there's always the one in the fall.
Yeah. And we did.
And you know, this year it's not his first convention. So.
Right.
So I'm not going to the spring.
Yeah. So you're going to the spring show. You know, the only bit of the toy news, the major toy, well, the toy news that...
There's a couple pieces of news. Well, I'll see what you're going to say, because there was one kind of big piece of news.
Well, I was just going to say that the Lego Kuso site...
That's not what I was going to say, so go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the Lego Kuso site, there's been a kit on there for a while now that's been getting votes, and it finally reached past the idea stage, and will actually move on to the review stage. It garnered over 10,000 supporters. So it's the Lego Back to the Future 3 Jules Verne train set,
yeah,
which has been on there for a while, which finally got there, and it's like, oh, how awesome! of course, it'll begin in May and we'll go through September, so we won't know probably till next year.
Yeah.
Well,
also, did we talk last week about how Doctor Who got cleared?
Yes.
Okay, but it was it's just for Kuso, because I keep seeing it pop up everywhere. Oh, they're gonna make Doctor Who sets. It's like no,
it was just for
it's Kuso. It's a Kuso, yeah. And you still got to vote on it.
Yeah, but yeah, the licensing deals got
worked fixed, out. Somehow,
got worked out for the Doctor Who stuff. So yeah. It looks like we may.
It's possible.
Yeah,
you know, it's still got to get voted in. Although I'm sure it's popular enough, it'll get voted in.
Yes. Well, although they said anything that had been voted in. In the past, that had to be denied. It
had to be resubmitted.
It had to be resubmitted, and they would retake a look at it. So, yeah, I mean, all exciting news all around.
I'd buy it. I mean, I'd buy the train. I think it looks really cool. Yeah.
Of course, it wouldn't look like it does
in
the pictures. Yeah, they never do. But it would be very cool to have. I mean...
No, see, the other kind of sort of related news that I thought was big news is Mattel bought Megabox.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That kind of...
That
went one in one ear and went out the other.
Well, yeah, it's like they're joining Hasbro in the crummy Lego knockoff competition.
Yeah, yeah. And figure, buy Mega Bloks because they've already got crummy Lego knockoffs coming out.
Yeah.
So, their stuff's been selling. I mean, they did Pirates of the Caribbean for a while before Lego got it. And they did, they did the Marvel stuff for a while before Lego got it.
Yeah.
They've done, they're doing
Halo.
They're doing
Call of Duty, actually, yeah.
Is a big one. They do Power Rangers. So, there's a lot going on with Mega Bloks for those sets. So, I mean, it only makes sense that somebody was going to swoop them up. Although I'm surprised that, Mattel was just like, let's just buy a company.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think Hasbro went through all the effort to develop theirs.
Right.
And then I think they probably, that was probably in development before, it was in development before the economy completely cratered.
Yeah.
And then Mattel's like, oh, we're getting our butts handed to us. We need to get in on this sweet building toy.
We need some building stuff.
But we don't have time to, like, make our own. Let's just buy the cheapest one we can get.
Ooh, it sounds like their contract with Digital River.
I know.
Let's just get the cheapest thing we can find.
Let's just get something that's already made.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. Now people are like, oh, we're going to get Masters of the Universe Lego.
See, no, you're not going to get Masters of the Universe Lego.
Yeah.
You're going to get Masters of the Universe Mega Bloks. Yep. Mega Bloks.
Yeah, it's not a... I don't know, man. I've had a couple of Mega Bloks figures over the years. I never bought any of their sets, so I couldn't really tell you, what their sets feel like, what they're, how they build. I only know that the G.I. Joe sets and all that from Hasbro, all that stuff, it builds, not that great. The Kinect sets that use Legos now are, they build okay. They're not spectacular, but they do what they need to do. And then, of course, you just can't top Lego, so.
Well, because they created it. Well, actually, they didn't, but they perfected it. And
yes.
They have people who actually, it's their job to, I know the other companies have people, but there are people who are trained. I mean, they have like Lego University and
yes.
Such.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, the engineers who put those sets together really know what they're doing. And of course, they have, decades worth of parts to.
Yeah, exactly.
They just have all the cool stuff to play with to be able to make these amazing toys.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else is kind of just starting.
Yeah, throwing their
starting
feet
out
in
out
the
early,
water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing catch up.
Very much so playing catch up. Yeah, I thought that was interesting news when it like I said, it literally went in one ear and out the other with that. It was earlier this week, wasn't it?
It was
Monday, wasn't it?
Maybe
over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it was maybe. I don't know. I don't remember when the news broke, but
so yeah, when that
it was
that
after
kinda,
recorded.
Yeah, I saw that it went, eh.
In fact, I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday. I think it was a classic Mattel Duckin' Us Wednesday release.
Oh, yeah. Those Salma Mahi.
Back in the day when they had stuff worth even reporting.
Yes.
On Wednesday after we recorded.
Oh, man. So you were on What's on Joe Mind
this week? I was on What's on Joe Mind this week.
Yeah, this week.
Or whenever it actually
gets aired.
Yeah, episode 90.
Episode 90.
Which I know because they have a little thing over there, a little tradition that they do where you you pick your favorite vehicle and your favorite figure from 1990.
Oh.
So.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Or 91, you know, from the year right. of the episode numbers.
So they really couldn't do that until they hit, what, like
1982.
Yeah, 82. So it's not that long of a tradition.
It's a 12. Well, considering how long it takes between episodes, it's a pretty time honored tradition at this point. Yeah, there was a little comedy of errors getting that done, but Mike Irizarry asked me if I wanted to record. I said yeah, and we were supposed to do it Friday night, and it was me and Chuck and Mike on Skype, and the fourth, Justin Bell, apparently slept in. So we didn't record, but it was cool because I think it was three guys that don't like get to talk toys that much,
right?
So we were all kind of talking. We talked toys for like forever, until like midnight.
That's awesome.
So it was fun, and then the next night Chuck couldn't record. So we brought in Eric Aranya from Boss Fight Studios to take over Chuck's
former Hasbro designer,
yeah. Which I did not know at the time, but apparently the last two things he worked on, he said were. Mara Jade and Darth Plagueis. He fought for Darth Plagueis to be produced in the Black
Really?
Line. I was like, cool.
Wow. Like, and it's probably a good idea because it's like one of the most popular figures and the hardest to find figure.
Yeah, it's the one everybody's after.
Yep.
And it's probably the last EU figure they do in a long while.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So it was cool. It was fun. I sort of repaid him by dissing him a little bit,
yeah.
which I felt bad about. We were talking about because Boss Fight Studios, which he's gone on to be one of the I'm not sure if he's a founder, but he's
one of the head guys.
One of the head guys there.
Right.
I think he's a founder, but I mean not the...
Right.
I'm falling into an Ellen type
quagmire
of words. Point being, they do a lot of the work for the Collectors Club, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club.
Yes.
Doing head sculpts and some of the other add-on parts for the figures for,
right.
for subscription service and for the convention set. And they did a lot of work on this year's convention set.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just not a big fan of this year's convention set.
Right. Well, we've talked about that.
It's yeah. Like, eh. And the one thing in particular I thought was a real miss was the zombie dog. And so I'm sitting here talking about the zombie dog, and then all of a sudden there's this pause. And I'm like, yeah, I did that.
You're like, no!
Like, oh, no!
You're like, what have I done? What have I done? Oh,
well, it was nice finally getting to be back on What's on Joe Mind. Hopefully another... Another 10 years, another 15 episodes, maybe.
Oh, man.
But it was all cool, because a lot of it was a paint job, and he was unhappy with the way that they painted it, too.
Yeah.
I think his thing was, he had really worked hard on that and consulted a lot of anatomy books and such, because it's a zombie dog.
Right.
And then afterwards, he was kind of like, ooh, how are they going to paint that? This could be a little nasty.
Right.
You know, I mean, the sculpt is kind of, and it's a good sculpt, actually, but it's,
yeah.
you know, it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
You know, when you paint it right, it could be really disturbing.
Right.
So instead, they slopped it with bright blue paint all over the place.
Yeah, basically.
So.
Which just was not a good thing.
No. So he wasn't happy with the paint job either. And it was a good conversation. It was interesting. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know.
It always is. Had a good time. On Joe Mind.
Mike was unusually gracious. I don't know if he's dying or something. Apparently he's much better a host than he's a guy to hang out with.
Mike is nearing the end, so his graciousness is turned on.
Apparently you put him in charge, and he's just a sweetheart.
Oh god!
But so he, you know, gave us a big shout out, which was really cool.
Awesome. It's always good.
So,
considering he's a part of the fan group as well.
Yeah. he really pimped the fan group, and like
good.
And Eric actually, despite my faux pas,
he joined. Yes,
he joined right away
the fan group. Yeah.
So. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, welcome, welcome. I think that's the other major thing I want to talk about was that all of the activity on the fan group as of late is just spectacular. You know, we talked in the past that you had been posting up pictures of your collection, you know, wall by wall, basically, bit by bit, section by section. One of the newest members, Jonathan Kershak, has been posting up pictures of like his studio, his work studio,
yeah,
and just the collection he's got in his studio is amazing. Brad Reeder has been posting up.
Isn't he the one that his whole house is just
yes
filled with toys?
Yeah, his Brad Reeder. Sorry, Brad Reeder. Sorry, Brad. Sorry, Brad. Don't hate me. Brad Reeder. he's been posting up pictures of he and his wife's house, and it is literally a toy museum.
Yeah.
It is just every room, every little bit is toys, toys, toys. And there's so much there. And of course, Brad is the creator of the very popular Battle Babies, which are these amazing hodgepodge, you know, bits and pieces of different figure lines put together that just are great. They're just awesome. But yeah, there's just so much, you know, there's been so much cool stuff. You know, one of the newer members, Dwayne Ballinger, has been posting up pictures of his collection. He's got some really cool little bits and pieces of stuff, everywhere. And that's so much fun with me. For me, is that, you know, people posting up pictures of all their collections is really cool.
Yeah.
And it makes the fan group, you know, this fan group is what I always wanted the forums to be, but the forums just never caught on. Just because they were forums, and they're basically a dying breed.
Yeah,
you know. But the fan group, I mean, you know, we're up over 230 members, which is more members than were ever a part of the forums. I think the most the forums had was like 173 people.
Oh, there you go.
So we've got, you know, 234 members. You know, lots of great people, lots of great talk. I love it. You know, I haven't answered a lot of the posts. I've commented on some here and there, but I haven't had time between work and you know, we've been Dave and I have been kind of laying the last planning stages for board season two, kind of
working on it. Yeah.
Yeah, bringing all that together to a fine point so we can just write it off and start filming in a couple weeks. So I haven't had a lot of time between doing that and doing some other things for the site that to really, you know, get into a lot of what's been posted on there. But there's just some great stuff that I've been able to see, you know, in passing or on my way to bed, you know, going through, you know,
some of these people. I mean, you know, people are always like, oh, Dave, you've got this amazing collection. You look. I mean, these people have these amazing,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
like, gorgeous collections.
I mean, people like, you know, Chad Plouffe and Patrick Sinatra, you know. I mean, look at Brent Scarano.
I was going to say, yeah.
Brent Scarano's collection is amazing. I mean, just the amount of people that, you know, it's cool to know that not only does the show get listened to, you know, the site has gotten a lot of attention, you know, the reviews that we've done over the years have brought a lot of attention, and these people are fans of what we're doing and what we do, and they just want to share the love too, and that makes me more proud than anything to know that, you know, we've actually, it makes me more proud than anything, because I was always told, you know, I always heard that it was always said that Duvall couldn't do it on his own. He couldn't do it without someone else. You know, he couldn't do it, you know, he just couldn't do it. You know, that was something I always heard that was said about me was Duvall's. He's not gonna be able to do it. You know, it's gonna be a joke and it's not gonna go anywhere.
Well, I knew you could do it.
Yeah, well, somebody had confidence in me. You had confidence in me. You know, Brandon had confidence in me when he, you know, and David World had confidence in me, even though they're long gone. But you know, they had confidence enough to go, yeah, well, you know, we'll help you out. But yeah, I mean, it's,
yeah, I mean, this site is your baby. I mean, we kind of had this conversation before started recording, but I mean, this is your baby, and yeah, you should be proud of it.
I'm very proud. I'm very, very proud. I'm very proud of what we've done. You know, I'm very proud of the people that have joined the group that listen to the show. I'm amazed at, you know, the.
I mean, you know, it goes down in flames. I don't know you.
Oh, fair enough.
So I'm just saying, that's the advantage. It's like, you know, disadvantage is, you know, maybe I don't get some of the sweet pie when the ship comes in, but on the other hand, if it goes down in flames, man, I walk away clean.
Dave walks away clean. Other than having to work with Puppet Duvall, it's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well. What do you do? Darn that puppet. But no, it's been a, you know, it's been a great joy. And you know, I was even more proud and more happy, you know, over the weekend. We had filmed these little bits and pieces for the teaser for Board Season 2. And I had kind of messed around with it a little bit. You know, there's some green screen work in it to kind of fix some things. And we were waiting on a voiceover Yeah. Which we had planned. So I kind of set on it. And then you finally delivered the voiceover last week. So this past weekend, I was able to actually sit down. Was it Saturday I sat down and did that?
It came out Saturday.
So yeah, Saturday morning, I actually got to sit down on the couch. And Carrie and I just had a lazy weekend where we just didn't do anything. And I sat down and literally pounded that trailer out, you know, put it together, put all the effects and everything in it, and, you know, overlaid, you know, listened to all the audio tracks and overlaid everything and found the music. And when I put it up, because you were like, is it up yet? And finally, when it
went up. Well, yeah, because you said it was up, and then I, like, kept checking out all afternoon.
YouTube was being silly that day, because I uploaded one, and then it just, like, it got the 97%, and it just sat there for 3 hours. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll try this again. But yeah, once it went up, I just to get this amazing text from you was pretty spectacular. But Dave was just like, oh my God, that was amazing. You know, because, I mean, the idea behind the teaser, it was all Dave's idea.
Yeah.
That was Dave. Dave wanted to do a Game of Thrones kind of spoof. And Dave and I both, it was
an idea that I've been kicking around for a really long time. I think it was going to be a Life in Plastic. And I was going to get the 12-inch Boromir from Sideshow. From Lord of the Rings, but it's Sean Bean, plays Ned Stark. And, you know, it was just going to be a little pun of, like, you know, he'd be sitting there, you know, on a little throne of games.
Yes.
And I never did anything with it. And I just, you know, obviously, you know, we're doing a thing about board games, and the idea sort of came back to me. And there's that line from the commercial for the first season, you know, you either win or you die.
Right.
And I just, you know, had you either win or you're Duvall. and that sort of, you know, in my head, I could see the whole thing, the throne, Puppet Duvall sitting on it. And, you know, if you remember the Schwarzenegger Conan films, they always ended with him sitting on the throne and everything was black in the background. And there was smoke and the blah, blah, blah. And so that's kind of how I visioned it. You know, so I brought it to you, and I kind of knew who I wanted to do the voice. And, and I was real happy with the way everything, I think everybody kind of came together. And did it really, it was everything that I could have hoped for.
Yeah.
You know, you did an amazing job with the music. The music was perfect. I was the first time through, I was a little unhappy with the way the music changed, like, after the turn.
Right.
But then I realized, no, it, because the show is goofy. Right. So we had to, you know, it actually works better.
Yeah.
So I really love it. I think it's great.
Plus, with all the fire, I needed something exciting.
Yeah.
Because the original track is very...
Well, but it's supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to have that Game of Thrones sort of feel to it, and it works perfectly.
Yeah,
and I really could not be happier. But, you know, thing is, you can't just sit around kind of wallowing in your accomplishments. We got to move on to the next thing.
Oh now. No, we're moving on to the next.
We got to move on to the next thing.
That
was just the teaser. Now we got to actually do the show.
What's funny is people are already asking, is Bigfoot going to be in this season?
Of course, Bigfoot's
going to be in this season, and it's going to be spectacular.
I'm keen to see how you do some of this.
Yeah.
I'm not so much Bigfoot, but the other sort of, I don't know if you want to call it a guest star from that episode.
Oh no, I want to see
how you do that.
I got it all planned out.
I'm keen to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I got it all planned out. It'll be great. It'll work out perfectly.
Okay.
That was really cool for me, because I could, even in the text, usually when Dave sends me a text, you can't really tell anyone's inflection in the text, but I could tell that Dave typing that was smiling like ear to ear, and that made me very happy.
Yeah.
So, that show has done nothing but, like, bring out the utter ridiculous amount of creativity that I used to have that went away. Like, when I was with New Midwest Wrestling and editing, you know, I would edit the shows together on DVD form, but I also put together all of the recaps that played before the show started. You know, when the show started, before the ring announcer, Jimmy the Bruiser Osborne, came out, we would play the recap of the last one's show, and I put together all those recaps. And a lot of times... You know, especially for big events, we had one called the Alexis Hohmeyer Memorial Tournament.
Sure.
And one of the stories behind that was I took a bunch of the guys that were in the tournament and made their own little separate stories in the length of that trailer. And that was creative for me because the way I did it. And it was fun, and I missed doing that. And I didn't have a chance to do that really at PCN. You know, I never really got to put together a lot of the shows. You know, we would edit our own little things, hand it to Dan, and then Dan would put it all together. So. Yeah. You know, I never really had the chance, even doing my reviews. Like, the reviews were just so straightforward. It's like, you know, I never got a...
Yeah.
A couple times with Toy Adventures with Duvall, I had a little bit of, you know, with the puppet riding me, like the one of the first ones I did, or the second one I did with the ponies. At the end of it, you know, Puppet Duval comes running in and pounces on me, and then it, you know, when it cuts, he's like on my back riding me like a horse, you know, that kind of stuff. But then after that, I just never got to do it either. And then we started doing board, and that got me thinking about a lot of things. You know, the teleportation scene in like the third episode, I was like, I want to try this and see if I can do this. And then that worked. And then the Christmas episode turned out really good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Dave and I started doing all this stuff with Puppet Duval and all these reviews. And then I started, you know, especially with the Lego, one of the last, not the Little Mermaid, but the one before that, the Bad Cops Pursuit we did, where we put together the whole little vignette at the end with, you know, Pixel Dan on Puppet Duval's back.
And, yeah.
That was a lot of fun to do and put together, and, you know, especially with Dave's help.
That worked really well.
Yeah. So it's just been, it's like, I'm, you know, that creative bug's now hit, and I'm like, ooh, what else can we do? So, yeah, board season 2 is going to be fun. That's something to look forward to for everybody. Should be interesting. And like Dave said, it's Dave's very interested to see how I'm going to pull off some of the gags in this season.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah. There's quite a few gags that I might have put myself in a corner for, but you know, we'll see. Yeah. Well, sorry, gang. There's not a lot of toy talk. Dave and I are just kind of.
I think we did okay.
Yeah. I mean, next week's show will be interesting. It'll be, you know,
post. It'll be a post show.
Be post Toy Man, and
I think any post show episode,
yes,
is always kind of fun to recount.
Yes, our, I agree.
Adventure. Wow,
I agree.
Me English speak good tonight.
Your tongue not work well.
Mm.
Well, what do you say we answer some fan questions?
If
we
I got can,
a lot of fan questions. Let's answer some fan questions.
Fan questions.
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Yay! Fan questions.
Yay!
All right.
Huzzah.
So the first one says, is from Dean Irvine, and I'm not sure if I'm reading this right, but his question is, you can have one life-size is what it should say. Okay, I got it now. You can have one life-size accessory from any toy line.
Oh, yeah.
The only catch, you must be able to wield it, so no vehicles, transformers, etc. What would you have?
You know, I've always really wanted, I would say I would be down to a Han Solo blaster or a pulse rifle from Aliens.
Yeah.
Are the two kind of sci-fi weapons that I've always really wanted.
Ooh. I would have 30-30's gun.
Can you wield that?
It doesn't matter. I'd have it on
the
wall.
Oh, okay.
It would look awesome.
But that was the rule.
I could wield it. I just need to, like, put up some sawhorses and set the end up there and then raise the back end and then aim and fire it.
He's cheating.
I'm not cheating.
He's cheating. He's circumventing the spirit of the...
Not really.
You don't have horse strength.
Maybe I do. You don't know.
I do.
Pretty boo. Sure. Joseph Chitwood says, what action figure is your all-time favorite? Mine is the 1983 G.I. Joe Snake Eyes.
Probably Vintage Bosk.
Really?
Yeah. Not vintage, but the Star Wars, the vintage line.
Yeah, the vintage line.
Yeah.
The one just from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite all-time figure? God, that's a tough one. I guess it'd have to just be Marshall Bravestar. I mean, I love that line, but I love that figure. So, I could make you a list of like 20 of my all-time
favorite figures. Yeah. I mean, you know, I love the Viper, the classic Viper from G.I. Joe. Obviously, I have a thing for the Baroness. Yep. That'd probably be two or three figures on my list right there.
The entire Bill and Ted's line for me is like my favorite. All of those figures are my favorite. I love every one of those figures because they're amazing. Rock Lords. I love Rock Lords.
Croc Master. You know, in terms of an actual vintage toy, Bespin Han was my favorite Star Wars figure.
It's pretty cool. Onward.
Onward?
English.
Hi, Onward.
English not work well.
Andrew
Cornelius says, hi, guys. I was watching Toy Hunter the other day and found out that the Mego Wonder Woman was only released in Australia. Do you know of any other toys that were only released down here?
And, of course, we have to add that Mike Irizarry had to chime in and go, Wonder Woman was released in the States. My brother and I had one growing up, and there weren't any world travelers in the family.
Well, here's the deal with Wonder Woman that they showed on Toy Hunter.
Yeah.
That when that figure came out in the States, it was in a box with the show designs on it. So Linda Carter.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Because I went back and, like, researched this because Mike had to chime in. The figure that was released in Australia was a variation of the 8-inch figure. It had different... The yellows were different.
Yes.
The eyes were different. Yeah. And the eagle on her chest had an eye.
Yeah.
There were variations. But it came out late in the production, so that when it came out in Australia, we in the United States had the Wonder Woman TV show.
And they did
which
not
were the
yet.
12 inch, which were the no, which were the different scale, was a different figure. Right. So they didn't keep putting out the 8-inch Wonder Woman here. So that variation was only released in Australia.
Right.
So you can only find it there, and it was released on the card. And you know, now all these years later, there are only like two that are known to still
well,
be on the card.
Now there's like there's four in existence
okay,
that they
well,
know
that
of.
They know of.
Yeah.
But it's a rare variation that we didn't get in the States because everything was about the TV show by that time.
Yeah. As for
Mike.
Other toys that were only released in Australia, I don't know of any other toys in Australia, but I know of other toys overseas that were only released.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a whole... Of course, eventually they make it to the States. Certain things don't. You know, the big one I can think of is the Canadian release of the blank from Dick Tracy that's never made it to the States and is still a $700-$800 figure.
Yeah.
There was a whole line of... A late line run of Predator figures from Kenner that only came out in like... oh, God... They showed up in KVs many years later in different packaging, but in the original packaging, they only showed up overseas. Just recently, they just found a whole bunch of Kenner Police Academy stuff that they thought never made it past the prototype stage that made it, you know, released in like...
Argentina or something?
Argentina, yeah.
Argentina gets a lot. Like it's weird to think of, but Argentina gets a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, they got Vlix from the Star Wars Droids line.
Yes.
Canada got Yak Face from the Star Wars Droids line. There were three Aliens figures that eventually got re-released in different packaging in the U.S., but it was Vasquez, O'Malley, and Hudson.
Yes.
The original packaging were only released in England, or
yeah.
Overseas.
Overseas, yeah.
Laserlight Skeletor is a famous one.
Well, Megator Titus, Laserlight He-Man, and Skeletor, yeah.
And then you get into like the weird specifically, you know, like Action Force.
Mm-hmm.
Palatoy, Fun School had a couple of, you know, there's kind of a famous/infamous one. There's a G.I. Joe that's Superman. He's called Superhero.
Oh, really?
And he was released by Fun School. It's a G.I. Joe that's
Superman.
Kind of Superman,
really?
Basically. Yeah, huh. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting.
They'll never remake him.
No.
But yeah, and, you know, there's all tons of Japanese Transformers. Some of which don't end up, you know, I know in the Beast Wars era, there were a bunch that did not end up getting here.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
Some did, but some didn't.
Yeah, some didn't at all. I mean, there's so many. I mean, we could sit here and go for hours and hours.
Yeah,
about
yeah. Just specifically Australia, I can't think of any.
Yeah, nothing. The Wonder Woman thing was the first thing I'd ever known of, so. But there is a lot of stuff that was released overseas that is very hard. There's a number of Captain Power figures. I think there's three that were released overseas that are stupid hard to find.
Yeah. Last year's Joe-Con set, like half that set was versions of that were only released in South America.
Yes.
You know, like 25th anniversary, you know, new modern era versions
of those characters.
Based on repaints, you know, like Sparta and Cobra de Arco,
yeah.
And on all these guys.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the theme.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. You just kind of got to poke around and see. So,
God have mercy on your wallet.
Yes. Raphael St. Jimmy Torres says, are you guys excited for the Funko Super 7 reaction? Universal Monsters.
No, we hate them.
No, you don't.
We hate them here. That's one of the few that I actually ordered was Brighter Einstein.
Yes.
And I probably need to go back and get the Invisible Man. Excited is not quite the word, because I have the Remco ones. So.
And you were buying the ones that Remco never did,
that
basically.
Never did,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they're not... The characters aren't the same. I mean, the Wolfman doesn't look like the Remco Wolfman.
Right.
But I just, you know.
Yeah.
I have a 4-inch Dracula.
Right.
I have a 4-inch.
No need to.
Yeah. Yeah. So excited is not quite the right word. I like the ones that I don't already have characters of.
Right. I think they look great. I mean, I
probably, those are some of the better looking ones out of that whole series, I will say.
I may not buy any of them probably, but I do think they look amazing. And there, the whole, you know, especially we talked about it, at, you know, post Toy Fair after we saw the actual
close
show
up
floor,
pictures,
yeah, that we were like, oh, okay, well, those look way better than
yeah,
they did,
yeah.
Yeah. So that had us more excited now than we were to begin with. We were pretty bummed out there for a while.
But even the monsters ones actually, they looked good before.
Yeah,
They were some of the ones that look. They just they're some of the best ones I've done.
Right.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
I can't say that I'm excited, but they are definitely some of the better ones I've done.
Yeah.
We can skip ahead to David Williams, I believe.
Oh, yes. David Williams says, is there a toy line you don't collect for, but has one or two pieces that you have to have? For me, I don't collect Masters Universe, but I have to have Grayskull and the Talon Fighter.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple things, like the Golden Girls line. Or not the Golden Girls. Glamour Gals. That you have.
Yeah, I have the Ocean Queen and the Ferrari.
And the Ferrari, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's lines like that.
Yeah, I mean, I I'm trying to think if there's anything downstairs that I have that I just have, you know, bits and pieces of stuff that I just won't collect.
Frankly, Masters kind of started that way with me. It got a little out of control.
Yeah, it kind of blossomed.
As things I don't want to do in my collection, but...
it's true.
But yeah, I mean, I see Grayskull's a piece that I almost think every collector should have.
Yeah, I agree. I
mean, that's such an iconic 80s piece.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? And I do have a vintage He-Man. I do have a vintage Battle Cat.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I've got some odd stuff, like, you know, I've got some Ring Raiders that came out in the 80s, which are the 90s, I guess you could say, late 80s, early 90s. I've got some odds and ends of stuff there, but I don't know if there's any...
You know, a lot of that stuff in my Kenner shelf, like, you know, I have, like, a couple of Swamp Thing figures just because I wanted them for the Kenner shelf. The Shadow vehicles, I really didn't want the Shadow line, but I wanted those cars.
Right.
You know, I really kind of envy that Jack Slater... convertible.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From Last Action Hero. That would be one that I probably wouldn't buy the line, but I would love to get that car.
Get that car, yeah. Yes, there's bits and pieces. I can't think of anything like major that I'm like, oh, I don't want to collect that line, but I gotta have that piece, you know.
Yeah.
Because mostly if I say that about something, like I didn't want Shadow, and then I bought some Shadow stuff, and I'm like, oh, I kind of want this whole line now.
Yeah.
Because it's all. Well, cheap.
That's what happens to me too. Is I'll get one thing. It's like I just want that one thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I have all of them.
You're like, oh no, I got them all now. Joseph Phillips says, growing up in the 80s, we were lucky to have awesome toy commercials from so many memorable toy lines. What is that one commercial of toy line commercials that you can remember just being super excited every time you saw it?
I don't know. I guess the Inhumanoids commercial, yes. I remember being very...
Yeah.
Play School Dinosaurs, I remember. I mean, I was a little old at that time, but I remember those commercials.
Definitely Dinosaurs?
Definitely Dinosaurs, yeah.
Yep.
They're big and strong and tough. I can play with them real rough.
Yep. G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, G.I. Joe had great, great commercials. I mean, you know, we've told that story that the commercials were actually for the comic.
Yeah.
Which was an innovative way to get around certain laws.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Until that law got...
Yeah, well, it got tossed out the window.
Yeah, and they were like, ah! Yeah, I mean, there's, you know... There was always some... No, there's some board games still. Every time I saw the commercial for Fireball Island, I got excited because I always thought, oh, I really want that game. That game was awesome.
Fireball Island.
Dave's nemesis.
My nemesis.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff that you would see a commercial, and especially as a kid, I'd get excited about. Now, I don't know if I'd get so excited as I saw it. More just be watching it going, yeah, there's a nostalgia factor going, ah, I saw that on TV when it was real.
Yeah.
You know. I get more excited now finding old Wish catalogs from Christmas time.
Yeah, those are fun to watch, to look at.
Those get me more excited now than I think I was when I was a kid, because I'm like, let's. Because Carrie gets excited because she's like, I'm gonna look, and she'll just flip through them for an hour and a half or whatever.
I can't say that because I'm sure I've told the story that I, when I was a kid, I was allowed to have the catalog for 1 week.
Yeah,
and then it would be taken away.
Yep,
because I would want everything.
So you would circle what you wanted, and then after a week, it was gone.
But I mean, I do love, you know, I love looking at the whole catalog because I remember as a kid, there was even though you knew where the good stuff was, there was still the trek through everything else as if, you know, you didn't want to miss anything by jumping ahead.
Right.
And I remember in the Sears ones especially, there was always that section towards the toys that had like all the NFL stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's stuff that I remember so vividly, you know, from when I was a kid.
You'd always come to the middle and all those ordering pages and the measurements and all that, and you're like, ah, flip through all this. Ah, good stuff. Our good buddy Sean Rossell is back to asking questions.
What?
Maybe Sean caught up now, apparently?
Who? What? Yeah. No, he's not. I although this may be the first episode he's listened to in a long time.
Could be. That could very well be. But Mr. Sean Rossell says, are there any 80s lines that you have no pieces from that you'd like to get into?
Oh, what was the one? Because I saw that question and I thought of... I think one of them was Brave Star.
Right.
Bravestar's a cool toy line. I wouldn't mind having some of those. And then there was another one I remember thinking of at the time. That and you've got it. So, but I thought that was a cool toy line too, and I can't remember what it was. You go ahead, and maybe I'll remember.
Right.
So you go ahead.
You mask.
Go ahead.
Mask, okay. Maybe. There's certain things in Mask that that I'd like to have that I don't really want to get into all of it, but there's certain things that I'd be like, you know, I'd like to have that.
Oh, I remember what it was now.
It was there and it's gone.
I can see it, but is it Black Star?
Yes.
The one with the dragon, yes. And the castle, yep, the ice castle.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one that I'd really like to get.
I have a figure from Black Star.
I don't have any.
I have the lava monster guy.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. Matt DeLugos says, when you enter your basement, does it smell like toys? And it's for both of us. Usually if I enter my basement and the cat has used the box, it usually just smells like poop.
Yeah.
And then I have to clean it up.
No, mine doesn't really smell like toys. It's you know, it's a basement. It's a little musty.
Yeah, it's a little musty.
A little musty.
Yeah.
I keep trying to keep it clean, but I don't know.
I think the last time it really smelled like toys was in my office, and I had just opened up some Glios figures, and they were still sitting on my desk, and they, you know, I closed the door when I go out of there, so when he opened it, I was like, oh my god!
Yeah.
It's like, it smells like plastic in here, and I'm like, oh, that's the Glios figures, good. After a while, that smell dissipates, and it just,
I don't know, you get a little close to my, Game of Thrones figures, and...
Oh, yeah.
Boy, those things stink. Yeah.
It smells like home. That's what it smells like. It smells like home.
Yeah, it's just the entrance to where my basement is, that little, there's like a little, you go down the stairs and there's like a little carpeted finished area, yes, before you get to the basement. That area like is the smell trap for the house. Like, no, I mean seriously, every smell in the house gets down into that area.
There, yep.
So if I cook something, you know, if I cook steak, it'll smell like kind of grease and burnt.
Yeah.
It smells like everything but the good parts of steak. You know?
That's awesome.
So that's why that there's a weird smell when you go down the stairs.
Interesting.
I don't know. You've noticed.
Oh, I have. That's true. Alex Pasquale says, are there any toy gimmicks that you have a certain liking to, be it die-cast or light-popping electronics or good old-fashioned action features, etc.? She says, my personal guilty pleasures are anything vacuum metal and translucent figures.
I hate action features.
Yeah?
I hate them. I've always hated them. I specifically have hated them since the Indiana Jones figures came out back in the day.
Yes.
And Indy had that spring-loaded arm.
Yes.
Which basically completely destroyed any play value that he had.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, basically he could kind of crack his whip or he could do a quick draw because it was based on the Butch and Sundance figures. But it also meant that he had a spring in his arm that would break really easy.
Yep.
He couldn't really, you know, like if you wanted him hanging from the truck or doing just any kind of action stuff.
You couldn't.
You couldn't. And just ever since then, I've always hated action features. I think they draw up the cost. I think they add nothing. They make the figures more easy to break.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always liked certain lines with action features. You know, I love the Chuck Norris line, and that whole line has action features, and they're all great. Defenders of the Earth had a great action feature, which doesn't deter from the play value, but they had the knob on the back of each of the figures and their fists, so they could throw punches and, you know, swing their swords and stuff, and that was kind of cool. And you didn't really lose any play value because there wasn't anything in there to break, really.
Yeah.
You know,
but again, it's not even that they just sort of twitch their arms. I mean, that's the other thing, is that the action features are always so underwhelming. Like, yeah. They just sort of twitch and...
Yeah, they were never,
Twitch and...
you know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I don't know if I have any guilty pleasures. I mean, you know, we talk about, we always joke with Pixel Dan because Dan's got this. Dan's got this thing to train anything translucent. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. He's going to buy it because he's like, oh, you know,
yeah.
He gets this gleam in his eye and you're like, well, there goes Dan on his crack. We can't help him.
Yeah, I mean, something like that doesn't bother me. You know, I don't mind translucent figures. I mean, if it's appropriate for the figure.
Right.
Light pipe eyes, I don't generally mind too much, except there's always that big square in the back of
the
head.
Yeah, I mean, you think really of the Inhumanoids.
Inhumanoids, there's some Star Wars figures like that. Yeah. The Jawas from Star Wars have those big windows in their heads, which was kind of like, for not a lot of payoff. Would have been cool if they just used, like, glow-in-the-dark paint for their eyes or something.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, is there's always this weird trade-off. The one company that I think did it the best was Toy Biz.
Yes.
Toy Biz did action features the best because they were usually... They were still kind of crummy and underwhelming, but you could still play with the figure.
Yeah.
sometimes you had that heart-stopping ratcheting sound.
Yeah,
the finger didn't actually break.
Yeah, you're like, so, yeah.
You could actually play with them.
Exactly. Brad Thorne says, one of the things I've become more aware of and also gaining a greater appreciation of is the third-party Transformers toys. In the past, I viewed them as glorified customs, and I don't say that as an insult, as I'm a huge custom action figure fan. He says, I've noticed that there seem to be more and more of these third-party companies popping up to give fans modern versions of characters that Hasbro will probably never get around to. Considering the way that the big two toy companies have been pulling back resources and making simpler, more kid-friendlier toys, do you guys think that we'll see a raise of third-party companies that start making 6 or 3¾-inch figures based on various comics, movies, cartoon characters? Well, we've already seen that.
Well, yeah, Resource. I mean, with Super 7.
Yeah, Resource. Well, Funko, yeah. Funko Super 7, yeah. There are a lot more third-party companies coming out for Transformers, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't really seen... not really anything for G.I. Joe. I mean, there's a lot of guys doing customs they sell.
They do a lot of customs, but yeah.
Yeah, I think Transformers is the big go-to for third-party companies making product. Because they just, you know, those companies make... I mean, look at Quakewave that we both own. Quakewave figures, the masterpiece Quakewave is awesome. I mean, it's Shockwave.
Yeah, no, you know, I've got... at this point, I have several third-party
Transformers. Yeah, they're amazing.
You know, the one thing I like what Super 7's doing, the one thing that I kind of wish they had also done when they spun off from the Alien toy line was, and I talked about this before, was doing those characters that didn't get done, like a John Hammond for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You know, like a Dutch for Predator.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't even have to look like Arnold. It can just be a dude, you know, because it wouldn't have looked like Arnold back in the day.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, maybe a Clarence Boddicker for RoboCop.
Yes.
But do these characters that didn't get done for these toy lines, you know, as if they had been done.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, that's like a bunch of different licenses, but, you know, that apparently was no object to them now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny, too, these days with the third-party Transformers. It seems Hasbro's kind of, for a while there, they were hardcore going after third parties. Like, they were locking them out of BotCon and all this other stuff. And it seemed like Hasbro was going to get on the rise of, you know, delivering seasoned assist to these companies going, you can't make these toys. And then I'm thinking more than likely at some point, since they don't ever really, they don't put symbol, you know, they don't put Autobot or Decepticon symbols on them. They don't call them the names that they're called originally. So they're not really, they just, you know, some of them look like the characters.
Yeah.
So I think maybe lawyers at Hasbro were like, there's really nothing we can do. You can't really stop that. You know, if they call it, you know, they can stop them from going into BotCon and setting up. Even then, the last couple of years of BotCon, those people have gotten in and they've displayed those toys on tables. So it's like, that's not working. But the third-party stuff is, I've become a big fan of it. I think there's a lot of stuff out there for years that, you know, we didn't know about that. Suddenly it's like, you start going back and looking at the third-party Transformer stuff that's been done over the years, and you're like, oh my god, there was so much cool stuff they made, and you'll never see that stuff again because it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and worth a lot of money now. So... I'm a big fan of it. You know, I own a Quakewave just because I reviewed Dave's figure and thought, oh my god, I need to have this figure because he's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know some of the names of these guys, but I have Quakewave. I have the Shockwave one that turns into an old fashioned Ironside,
yes.
Ironclad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the little Sharktacons.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite third party thing is someone did a Quintesson.
Yes.
And I was like, why did Hasbro never do this?
Yeah.
They did one for like Armada or something. It doesn't look like a Quintesson.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why are you missing out?
Yeah. Well, it's Hasbro and they don't think people want it. They don't think it'll sell. And obviously it did because that company sold out of the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the last fan question, Simon James says, hi, guys. If money was no object, what toy action figure would you have commissioned to be created? I thought a NECA-styled Hooper, Brody, and Quint from Jaws... would be cool, or maybe The Last Starfighter.
I actually talked to him, messaged him that I agree. I love Jaws.
Yeah.
So those would be cool figures to have.
Yeah.
I don't know. What my sort of... I'm distracted by the squeaky.
The squeaking of the dog.
The squeaky squeaks.
That's all right.
You know, I think there's so many things that I'd love to kind of do and indulge myself. I'd love, like, classic Land of the Lost figures.
Right.
Jaws. I would love 3¾-inch, like, Brody, Hooper, Quint, an Orca playset,
yes.
And a Bruce the Shark.
Yeah.
I would, that would be like, make that for me now.
Yeah.
Money is no object. Waha. Last Starfighter. God, you know, you could do a whole line. You know, the Greg and Alex, yeah. And the star. I would love the Starfighter. I would love the Centauri's car.
Yes.
you know,
there's just a
lot of stuff. Yeah, I would like a little bit nicer. I would like a 25th style Doc and Marty.
Yeah,
not the vintage. Like that's my thing. Very few of them would be vintage style because I'm a little over this.
Retro
vintage, yeah. Lol.
If money was no object to me, even though the line has already been out, if money was no object to me, I would continue the Muppets line with the same Palisade sculpting.
Good, cool.
Yeah,
good call.
I would continue that. I would release the Sesame Street line that they were going to release. I would continue to release the last series of the Muppets they were going to release, which included the Muppet Babies figures, Fraggle Rock, you know, just a ton of awesome stuff. If money was no object and I just had, you know, Carrie and I were just rich beyond our wildest dreams, and I was like, Carrie was like, here's $6 million, just do whatever you want with it. I'd be like, ooh, what do I want to do with that? I'll do this.
Well, I'll tell you, because as we all know, I hate Creo.
Yes.
And the thing that broke me, I mean, it honest to God depressed me, is I was at Toys R Us this weekend, and they have the D&D Creo.
The Dungeons and Dragons sets are out.
And I will tell you that one of my all-time dream lines would be a line of Dungeons and Dragons toys, and it would be like, it would be a 3¾-inch scale, but it would be like those Mark's Knight figures I have, where they'd have like removable armor, and they would have like a little. It would come on the tree, but you'd have like different swords and different weapons, and you know, and you could buy like accessory packs. So if you want a cleric or a fighter, or, you know, magic user would have little cloth goods robes and a spell book, and it would just be, you know, then you'd have all the monsters, and it would, you know, it would bankrupt the company, but it would be amazing.
It'd be awesome. It'd be pretty cool. What do you say we take a listen to this week's this bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly.
Yes. Thoughts with our good buddy Adas Barone, and this week's thoughts with Adas Barone.
You know, folks, Valentine's Day may be long and gone at this point, but that doesn't mean I can't be heartbroken outside of that. More on that in a moment. First up, however, is Percival Spindlewinkle, our resident Power Ranger Super Sentai correspondent on the annual Sentai series refresh.
Thanks, Baron. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of year where after spending around 50 weeks with a team, we must bid them adieu and usher in a new team with a new theme. As I look back at Juden Sentai Kyoryuger with much adoration, I get a little misty-eyed knowing it's time to say goodbye. In its stead comes Resha Sentai, or Train Task Force, Tokyuger. If the name wasn't a giveaway, indeed, this new squadron is train-themed. When news broke around 3 months back, many of us in the Sentai community met this with an are-you-kidding-me mentality. All of us thought this was the lamest idea on the planet and panned it immediately. For one, this motif seemed such a juvenile departure from what has come before it. The costumes, while the helmets are kind of neat, leave so much to be desired as almost no thought was put into it. Designated color spandex, white boots and gloves with a minimal black and white train track design on the left breast. That's it. We've gotten better suits in this in the 70s and 80s. Then there was their combiner fighting robo, with an equally lacking design and garish color structure. Trust me, it's awful. With time for it to gestate before the Tokyuger premiere, it gave us, or at least me, time to take a step back and think on it. Which brought me to a conclusion. Super Sentai can be anything. That's what makes it unique. From dinosaurs, police task forces, samurai and ninja, to race cars, mythical beasts and magic, I don't care what the US fans say, capes are cool. The Sentai genre has unlimited potential and is as vast as one's imagination. I'm still waiting for a Greek mythology team. And a train theme is something new we haven't seen, as opposed to keeping it safe and retreading on themes that have come before. Not only that, but trains are such an ingrained part of Japanese society that I ask myself why it hasn't been done before. So I decided to save judgment until I saw it. Then I saw it. Let me preface, I have only seen the first two episodes, and that's no way to gauge a show. I'm going to watch at least the first 10, because the plot doesn't develop until at least then. While aesthetically there's a theme, there seems to be no story whatsoever. I admit, every Sentai has essentially the same story, but we are given no plot structure, which leaves me scratching my head as to what's going on. Then you have the show's gimmick, since all of these special effects shows now rely so heavily on merchandise. For Tokuger, the Five Rangers have the ability to swap colors and powers with each other, but doing so doesn't achieve anything, appears to be totally pointless, and is going to get old fast. In addition to all of this, when compared to what came before it, Tokuger feels so subdued and quiet. Kyuger was loud, bright, and in your face! Somewhat in part due to the narration performance by one of the most over-the-top Japanese voice actors in the business, but done so in an endearing way that you embrace it. Tokuger feels the exact opposite, and the characters making up the team come off as bland copycats of what have come before it. Yes, the Ranger characteristics are typically similar from show to show, but why Tokyo 1 through 5 look like their described personalities? Nothing about their performances would tell you that. And so far, they come off as so one-dimensional it hurts. Lastly, many of us have complained how childish it all feels. Sorry guys, but this is intended for young children no matter how you cut it. However, the producers tend to put things in there that would appeal to adult fans, but in this iteration, they didn't. And no matter how you look at it, it's for kids. Wow, I think I've ranted enough. Long story short, I'm not really digging it, but I'll give it more time to come to a final conclusion.
Thanks, Percy. A congratulations are in order, my friend, as I heard your mental health facilitator has awarded you the use of rubber cutlery.
Yes, Baron, I'm making some great improvements. I even keep one of the knives with me for comfort. You know, just holding it in my hand fills me with such a sense of relaxation. Sometimes I slap it against my palm to release tension. And even rubbing the serrated rubber back and forth in my hand, there's nothing quite like it.
I think you're causing an abrasion there.
Am I? Oh, who knew? Sometimes I just lose track of it.
Moving on. You've heard me rant and rave over how excited I was over the release of Hasbro's all-new X-Men Legends box set. This was something I had been dreaming of for years, and I was taken off guard we'd actually be receiving one. When issues were finally ironed out on the Toys R Us website, I swooped in like a hawk and pre-ordered it. My excitement level running high, salivating at the thought I was going to own this, and frantically did repeat checkings on the location status of the shipment once it left the warehouse. Now, I had read an article stating, to the author, how he was let down by this release. I saw what he had grievances with, but overall, I thought to myself, it can't be that bad, can it? Then it came in the mail. To say this is a disappointment is an understatement. This release is a pile of garbage, worthless, with a topping. Where do I begin? The paint. On the three male characters wearing the yellow and blue costumes, Cyclops, Angel, and Beast, they all have blue paint missing. Missing on their sides. Angel and Psych share the same body and have the exact same pattern of missing paint to each side. How in God's name does this get past quality control? And this is a widespread problem. Upon taking Cyclops out of the box, I found 75% of his left elbow joint was split, and any attempt at posing it tore it more. Then, for whatever reason, in a piss-poor attempt to give the bodies a wash effect, the yellow plastic on them have this putrid orange coating. And it's not even strategically placed. It's slathered all over. Many complaints are pointed at Iceman for using the Claw Vision Buck, one which most collectors detest. Was it a good choice? No. But I would settle with it, even though the neck sculpt is odd and strangely wide for such a lithe character, and he has sorely outdated ankles. But my problem lies with the new head he was given, as it looks like an old man. Bad choice. Think I'm done yet? Back to Angel. The wings he has are non-articulated. You heard right. A static piece of off-white plastic that plugs into his back, and not very well at all. big, big slap in the face. On to Marvel Girl, who uses the old Electra body, but given a new head and updated ankle rockers, which just causes more confusion why Hasbro left Iceman's feet as is. She has a nice head sculpt, but her legs are so bow-legged and taut at the hips, there is no way you can pose her and have it look good. And lastly, my beloved Beast, my favorite X-Man. While using the Hyperion body was a nice choice, and features some nicely sculpted new forearms and feet, his head doesn't seem properly scaled, and, wait for it, has no articulation beneath the elbows, no forearm swivel where the sleeves end, no ball wrist or even a cut. Nothing! A character known for his acrobatic skills and the most agile member on the team, and you're going to tell me he is the least articulated figure in the set? I'm beyond furious. I'm positively heartbroken. This hurts. As the day I'm recording this, I already went to my local Toys R Us and returned this. I have never experienced this before in all of my years collecting, and that's including the Bandai Thundercats. At least there, you knew what to expect. And that is my opinion on this mess. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to hunt down the hardest liquor I can find. Screw it. I'll take a shot of lighter fluid at this point. Good night!
Yay!
Hasn't jumped the ship yet.
No. Yeah. Well, that's something I want to bring up.
Oh, are we?
Well,
we're going to say this out loud.
Well, I'm not.
I was just going to be passive aggressive about it.
There's something, you know.
That's my style.
Das made an announcement on Facebook that he was going to podcasting. Stay tuned.
He was going to be on another podcast. The backstabbing.
No, such. He has our blessing.
How dare he?
Don't let Dave fool you. Das has our blessing.
Keep in mind that we just talked about how I was on. That's the joke.
I missed that.
On another podcast.
I'm sorry. I missed that. I apologize. Yeah. I'm sorry. I take that back. Dave, that dirty, dirty Das.
Whatever. Yeah, he's a jerk.
But yeah, no, we gave Das our blessing, and we're like,
I didn't know he needed it, but okay.
Well, he felt it necessary to call me, and I'm sure he talked to you, but
he didn't talk to me, but he didn't need to.
Yeah, well, he called me, and he said, this is what I want to do, and I was like, do it. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm like, you're not under contract.
Yeah, anymore. I know. You owe us nothing.
You owe us nothing. I'm like, I owe you the world. I'm like, this is what I can do. Just go do it. Have fun. Do your own thing. I'm like,
Jason's on more podcasts than his own.
Exactly. I'm like, if you still want to do thoughts every other week and still want to hang out and be a part, like, awesome, great. I have no problem with that. But go do your own thing, man. So, of course, he said, he was going to do his own thing. And then somebody said, basically commented that hopefully he'll jump ship. And I was like, really? Ouch. That sucks. And basically he said,
he's just kidding, puppet.
Yeah,
he's
well,
just joking around.
And there puppet. Was some there was some talk about on here. There was some adult language on here. Some talk and said exactly why you must jump ship. I'm so sick of family friendly. Well, let me explain something to.
Oh, I missed that. But
yeah, let me explain. The reason why Dave and I went family friendly was one because we were told that families were listening to the show together and the language was a little too much for some of the youngins. Which here is the ultimate reason why the site went completely family friendly, why the old effing show that was done by our former our former web pals is now mature rated on YouTube, which means you have to be 17 or older to be able to watch it. Basically, it's because I can reach and we can reach a far greater audience as a family friendly podcast that shares our love of toys. Then basically cursing and screaming and hollering and moaning and crying and being, negative on, no, this sucks and it's effing horrible and blah, blah, blah,
Well, you can be negative without cursing.
Exactly.
I excel at that.
Yeah, yes, you do. I think we've had more fun doing family friendly than we did in the early days of the show.
The only thing is you have to stop and think about what you say every now and then, but that's not that huge a deal. I mean, because this has come up before. Right. We've had a fan question about, like, have we changed anything because we're family-friendly? And no, aside from the words we use,
right?
I really haven't changed. I mean, and you really need curse words to be able to enjoy your podcast more than, if anything, part of it is if I want to get an idea across... Sometimes it's more fun to, it's a special kind of adult hugging,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
They're just playing leapfrog.
Yes.
You know, So it's almost a game to try to, you know, if I want to get something naughty out there to sneak
right,
it in
right.
over the kids' heads.
I just read that while we were recording because it was a comment, and that really irked me. It really upset me. I'm like, really? I'm like, there's a reason why we're doing family. There's a reason why we do, you know, we've been doing all these family-friendly reviews with Puppet of All. It's like, they, number one, it brings in more subscribers and brings more attention to the site, which, hello, you know, we...
Yeah, we don't. You know, if you want us to work for you, start writing some checks.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm running. You know, I'm basically running a business. You know, with the website and all of that. You know, that's what this is. I mean, it's a second job for me, and it means a lot for me to have more kids watching, more kids enjoying the show, because I want to share that love of toys with the other people than just ourselves that are collecting, that are you know, our age, that are collecting, or, you know, a little younger. I want to share it with kids that are still 10, 12 years old that are, you know, that are into it because their dads or their moms are into it, and they're...
Well, that's literally how it all started. Is we were at to bring this all around. We were at a Toyman,
right?
And Joe, the guy who sells Joe. the Masters Classics,
yep, he has a couple younger kids.
Basically said, yeah, I love listening to your show. I love listening to them with my kids, but sometimes I have to put my hands over their ears.
Yep.
And that's when you decided, okay, we're going to go family friendly. Yep. And, you know, in retrospect, I think you were right, and I agree. I like the idea that this is a show that a dad can share with his kids,
yeah,
and share that love of their hobby,
yeah.
You know, and if you want, I don't know, Howard Stern toys or whatever, I'm sure there's some podcast out there that will, you know, fulfill your needs.
Yeah. So I mean, we went family friendly all the way across the board, were they?
And again, I mean, if you can't get your point across. You know, if you have to use curse words to get your point probably wasn't worth getting across,
yes,
in the first place.
Exactly. So that's all fun and good. Sorry, I'm off my soapbox now. That just
right.
that irritated me.
Yeah, I missed the denouement.
I'm going to comment on this because it really irks me. It really, really kind of set my kettle to boil. There you go. There's creative use of words. Yeah. So there you go, guys. That'll bring us to the end of this episode. Of course, you can check out all the great stuff going on Facebook.com. Search Toy World Order Fans and join the fan group. Like we said earlier in the show, there's lots of great talks. And you can always check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Toy World Order, as well as youtube.com/Board The Show, which will be making its Series 2 premiere in April.
Okay.
So, as well as, of course, you know, Married to the Collection will be coming back this spring once things warm up. And Carrie and I can get out of this cabin fever induced hell on earth that we're in with Snowmageddon 25 going on. So once it warms up and we can escape, there'll be more tales to tell.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir.
I know, right? So there you go, guys. That'll bring us to the end. Next week we'll have lots to talk about with Toy Man. I'm sure we'll have lots of stories to share.
Hopefully.
Yep. So David,
you don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The tour bar's closed, people. Peace out.